Your sisters and brothers all, grace, mercy, and peace be yours and mine from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the church say, Amen. 15 years ago, on December 9th, I made my first pilgrimage to what was referred to in the Synod Record Book as the Little Cathedral in Lansdowne, a nickname that was given to this church upon its building and perpetuated by Pastor Ritterpush, who served this church faithfully before accepting a call to serve as Secretary of the Synod, what we would today call an assistant to the bishop. And though he moved to from this place and from the parsonage to Towson, where the Synod house was on that day, he returned here often and told the story of the little cathedral in Lansdowne, the church that was filled to overflowing twice each Sunday, the church that had to purchase and send out a school bus to pick up all the children to come for Sunday church school each weekend. He told of classrooms that were bursting, of dividers that were purchased to make more rooms where there wasn't, of little children who used to meet in the kitchen for their Sunday school class because it was the only room left in the inn. 15 years ago, when I made my first pilgrimage to Lansdowne, the little cathedral had seen better days. Though there was a core group of people that continued to tend this ministry faithfully, who cared after this place and its congregation, morale was at an all-time low. Pastor Mulberger had become increasingly ill, sometimes strong enough to be propped up on a stool at the altar, but more and more not able to make the journey from the parsonage to the church. His resignation was imminent. And I was young and stupid. A newly minted assistant of the bishop for evangelism, my first duty from Bishop Naki was to come to Lansdowne, to 141 Laverne, one end of the street with an E at the end, the other end of the street, no E at the end. And we met in the Undercroft, Joe Amelia, Walter West, George Toohey, and Chet Hack. Nope, Chet Mitchell. Chet Hack was from my other congregation. Forgive me, Chet. And they reported to me the state of the congregation. And the picture they painted was bleak, and it was troubling, and yet they were steely in their demeanor, that they were going to do whatever it took. Not only was I serving the bishop's office, I was pastor of a little church in Glen Burnie. And I said, well, I think we could work something out. And they didn't know what to think, and I didn't either, but I went back to the bishop and I said, you know what? I think there's still life to be had in that place. I still think there's a future that can be cultivated. And the bishop told me what a lousy job I did in going to close the church in Lansdowne. And begrudgingly, he gave his permission for 1 year that I could do whatever it is that I thought that I could do, and I would have his blessing. And into that scene came a retired merry old elf named Hank Brown, and a series of seminary interns who were filled with fire in their belly to do something new, to cultivate the future. And we started living into that future. And as Frank Harpster gave way to Arwen Pierce, there was energy and there was a sense that we can do this. And a call committee was formed. And the embodiment of our hope was made manifest in Pastor Christy Kunkel. And those were very good years. You know, it's easy to look back over 100-some years and to count the thousands of people who have received the sacramental gift of baptism in that font, to count the thousands upon thousands who have been to this altar and made their pilgrimage to receive the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Jesus, the assurance of our salvation. It's so easy to count the weddings and the funerals, the pastors and the deacons and all of those who have served faithfully in this place, the many manifestations of Sunday school and vacation Bible school. It would be easy to stand here and count again and again and again and again the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who have been served as a manifestation of the gospel in the ways that you have fed this community, certainly with the Word of God, but in a special Our Savior way, with hoagies and pork and sauerkraut, with casseroles that were made with love and delivered to those who needed it most. I was talking to the executive director of the Lutheran Mission Society, who said, "I've never seen such a small congregation feed so many. What are they?" he said. "Are they Italian?" It would be easy to count over more than a century the lives that have been transformed in this time for eternity. But today my mind is very much on these last 15 years. And the one person of this place who said to me, "What did it matter? We only prolonged the inevitable." And I tell you, that's bull. In the last 15 years, lives have been changed. Lives have been transformed in time for eternity. Children and adults have been brought to faith at that font. Many of us have come to this altar and found our spiritual journey strengthened. The Word of God has been preached, and the Scripture's promise is sure. The Word goes forth, and it will not return empty. Dinner and a Bible, Bible and a dinner, dinner and a Bible, vacation Bible school, Sunday school. For the last 15 years, these things have continued to shape lives in ways that they wouldn't had you not been here. Frank Harpster, Arlen Gold, Christy Kunkel, Joshua Grove. These would not be as faithful and properly formed servants of the church had you not been here. Last night, as our family sat to dinner, as we held hands around the table, I can tell you this from personal experience. Had it not been for the Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Lansdowne, I likely would not have been sitting at that table last night, holding the hand of my wife and the children who followed. These last 15 years have surely made a difference for me. St. Paul says it like this: "So what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who then is against us? God, who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He then give us all things with Him?" It's a question that I think is inscribed on so many of our hearts today. What should we have done? What more could we have done? But I tell you that the shouldas, the couldas, and the wouldas of this world are not of God, but of the one who would threaten to rob us of the joy that should be ours in Christ. For those of us who remember a particular time and age, we remember that the Advent wreath didn't always have four blue candles on it. We remember a time when they used to be three violet and a rose, or three purples and a pink. And today would have been that pink Sunday, and the pink candle takes its name from our second lesson today: rejoice. And if there's ever a day that I've ever felt less like rejoicing, perhaps today might just be it. But nevertheless, Paul perseveres. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances." And if you don't like it, he comes back with a zing. He says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks." And it's just the word that you and I need to hear on this day. When we feel like we're in the bottom of the last inning, The bases are loaded and we've swung and we feel like we missed. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. That's what's hallowed this place and this people. Not for 15 years, but for over a century. Rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. That's what's held this building up through many trials and tribulations. Rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. And though the education wing is starting to collapse in on itself, at least in a back corner where no one can really see it yet, what holds up this place and this people is rejoicing in this fellowship, the love that we share in Christ, in the prayers and the encouragement that have been lifted for us and through us on behalf of neighbor and family, in giving thanks, in counting our blessings and realizing that this day, though gravely disappointing, this day is not a tragedy. It's yet another season in the life and ministry that we share. Today we're decommissioning a building, not a congregation. Today we're giving up our claim to a place, not God's promise of amazing grace. Today we recommit ourselves to traveling a little lighter as we discern how it is that God will manifest in us and through us the next season of the ministry of the little cathedral in Lansdowne, for the sake of Christ and our neighbor. The psalmist sums this day up beautifully when David writes, "The Lord has done great things for us, and despite it all, we are glad indeed. For indeed, those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering the harvest." Once today and Christmas Eve are past, there's still work for us to do. As we begin the work of entrusting all that we have back into the hands of God, and for the sake of a continuing congregation and for other congregations who will benefit from your generosity and largesse, we will gather again to pray each week on Mondays for Bible study at the parsonage, as we seek the will of God for this next season. And in the new year, on January the 7th, we will gather in the afternoon. We will pray and share the Holy Communion. Whomever comes, and to start the work of figuring out how it is that those who are to stay together will be adopted into a new community while keeping a claim on the mission that we share to make Christ known here in Lansdowne. The hard work of holding up this building is coming to an end. But the joyful work of scattering seed again, of seeking the heart of God for us and for this community that we love, that work will begin anew. And in my heart of hearts, I've come to believe that these last 15 years have been preparing us for this moment. For indeed, we are stronger, more resilient, and I believe faithful. Faithful not to a place, but to being church, the body of Christ together. Faithful to the one who stretched out his arms in suffering to free us to serve God and neighbor in the season that is still to come. May it be. In Jesus' name. Amen.